Father, we ask that you'd bless this word to our hearts. It is the Bible. We pray right now that you would just unlock our ability to receive, soften up our heart like a farmer sets his plow to till over and up the ground to break up that fallow ground. Lord, do that to us. Maybe you have been doing that to us all week. And whatever circumstances has brought us here today, or maybe, Lord, we're just regular attendees and this is home church for us and this is it. Awesome. Lord, whatever the case may be, we ask for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray especially, because it's just where my heart is, for those that are here who they either don't know you or they don't care to know you. Lord, we together pray that you'd invade them today the way that you do. I remember how you did that to me. Wasn't even thinking about you, and you knocked me off my stool to show me your amazing heart. And I pray that you do that today. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, grab your Bibles and turn, if you can believe it. It's kind of a miracle here today. We are in Luke chapter 19. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, church family, we are in a new chapter. Chapter 19 this morning, as we march through Luke. And by the way, chapter 19 begins now to commence from chapter 19 all the way out to the end of this gospel, the gospel of Luke. We now cover just a very short period of time. We are down now to a little over a week's period of time that Jesus has on earth before he goes to the cross. And so you need to know that. The title of the message this morning is Confusing. That's not the message, but here it is. I didn't know what to name it today because I had a lot of fun with the title. This is all about Zacchaeus. You know Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Lord came passing by, he said, he what? How's it go? He said what? He looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Let's all take it from the top. That's just locked in my head because Lisa said, aren't you teaching on Zacchaeus? And I said, yes. I was not raised in a church. She was. And as soon as I said, yeah, it's about Zacchaeus, she goes off, Zacchaeus, where's the wheel? And so we started talking about it, and then yesterday, we have a huge, it's over 45 feet tall sycamore tree in our backyard. We have a big backyard in Chino Hills. We bought our home forever ago when they actually made homes with backyards. Remember that? We bought our home for $99,000 in 1986. I don't see people are complaining about what the market does. I could care less what the market does. But there was nothing in the backyard. Whoever owned the home, they had lost it to the bank. That's how we got it so cheap. Nobody was living in it. It was abandoned. And the backyard, when we looked at the house, it was completely gravel backyard with literally a thousand or more little pots, you know, plastic pots. And we said, well, that's strange. What is that all about? And then while we were in the middle of escrow and all that stuff, about 1,000 marijuana plants began to grow. And this is interesting. So come to find out the guy who had the house was a drug grower, and that's how he lost the house, but that's how we got the house. And so, yes, now don't misquote me. My pastor has a pot house. Our house has been redeemed. It was once a pot house, and now it has grass in the backyard, and the first tree that we... Oh, my... Oh, my gosh. Shame on you. Shame. It has St. Augustine lawn in the back. And the first tree that my children planted was a sycamore tree that they stood there. We have pictures of them. Ashley's still in her diapers. Rebecca's standing there with her little gloves on, standing next to the tree. We have pictures of it. And guess what they named the tree? Zacchaeus. And the name of that tree is Zacchaeus to this day. And it is huge. And I tried to climb it yesterday, but I wasn't feeling all that well to climb it, but it is a huge tree. I'll show it to you later in the message. I took pictures of it to show you the kind of tree Zacchaeus had climbed, but we're still talking about the title of the message, and here's the reason why. It's either Zacchaeus this way, little man, big sin, bigger faith, or, I like this one better, too short, too bad, today. Because today he was given the call to come to Christ. Too bad, he was a very bad sinner. They had judged him as so. He was a tax collector, and Israel hated him for that. And obviously, he was too short. He couldn't see anything that was going on. Jesus was coming by. And so we'll read about that now. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief," or actually the chief, "tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because the crowd, for he was of short stature," or a wee little man. "And so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to be passing by that way," Jesus was. And verse 5 says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must,'" I love that, "'I must stay at your house.' And so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they complained," murmured, gossiped, "saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.'" This word means a notorious sinner. "And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by falsehood or accusation, I restore fourfold.'" Verse 9. "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house.'" Listen, here's the reason why. It's not because he gave his stuff away. Here's the reason. "Because he also is a son of Abraham." That's why. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." If you're painting a picture in your mind, and I need you to do that, first of all, know this. Jericho is one of the oldest inhabited cities in the world today. In fact, in a couple of weeks, many of us are going to be going through Jericho. We've been to Jericho before. One of the things that just overwhelm you is the amount of crops. When you pull over to any part of the roadside vendors, the grapefruit, the bananas, the guava, the papaya, oranges, it's over the top amazing. And then if that wasn't enough, the nuts, walnuts, pistachios, everything that you can imagine. The Jordan River Valley is extremely fertile, extremely beautiful, and Jericho is a gem, even though right now it is part of the West Bank. Its standard of living is pretty pathetic, but the palm trees, many of the palm trees are still there. For those of you who have been to the Palm Desert, Rancho Mirage area, if you take the 10 freeway east to the 111, and if you take the 111 towards Palm Springs, you go through Palm Springs, and then the 111 will kind of rise up, and it will ascend in elevation, and then you'll get to a crest somewhere around Palm Desert area along that. And then you'll see below you an absolute oasis of palm trees. A lot of people don't see the palm tree, the vastness of it in Palm Springs area, because there's so many of them. It's a sea of green and of dates. Jericho is named the City of Palms. It was also nicknamed the City of Roses. The roses that grow there were incredible. And then if that wasn't enough, the smell of balsam. They have tremendous balsam trees throughout the region, and the smell of balsam would permeate the air. Jericho's a gem of a place, and that's where this story's taking place. If you know your geography, Jesus now is heading away from the kingdom of Jordan today, would be to his back. Jericho would be on his right, and he's going up through the Judean wilderness, he's going up to Jerusalem. So he's heading west. And there's a big entourage. We looked at that last week together. Huge crowd of people. It's Passover season. Josephus, an eyewitness, says that Jerusalem annually would swell to 2.5 to 3 million people. coming from three major roadways. Do you remember what they were? Coming out of Europe and out of the area of what would be the former Soviet Union. They would be coming through south on the Via Maris, by way of the sea, towards Jerusalem. They would also be coming from the area of Africa, North Africa, and Egypt, coming up through the Sinai, up into Jerusalem, along the Mediterranean. Or they would be coming from the Far East, and they would have to come right through Jericho. Why is that important? Because there were three key customs gates in all of Israel that handled these passers-by. You had to pay money every time you went by. You not only had to pay money as you passed by through the gate, you had to pay money whenever you traveled in and out of town. You were taxed by the Roman Empire. You were taxed on how much you produced. You were taxed on how many trees you had on your property. You were taxed on everything. Sound familiar? By the way, there's two people in the world. If you go to New York City, keep this in mind. If you go to New York City, you could get robbed by somebody who carries a weapon. I guess that's true about any city, isn't it? So if someone's going to rob you, they're either a thief with a weapon. There's only one other person in all of the planet, in the history of the world, who can rob you other than a thief with a weapon. Anybody know who that is? You're too smart. It's the government. It's called taxes. They'll tax you. One guy comes up and says, "Give me all your money," with a gun, and the other guy comes up or sends you a piece of paper and says, "Give me all your money." Now, I don't know how you view that, but that's just the truth about it. What you have can be taken from taxes. Israel resented that. And because their taxes were being extracted to fuel the Roman machine as Rome occupied Israel, okay? Keeping that in mind, you've got this entourage, you've got a sycamore tree, you've got Jesus, you've got a whole lot of people trying to see him, and you've got a guy who, if I was casting this in a movie, I would hire Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito. I was speaking in London, and I saw Danny DeVito, and have you ever seen him in person? Danny DeVito has got to be about 4'11". He is so cool to look at. I feel so tall. He's just a little guy. He's just kind of a cute little thing. And he can't see. He's rich. He's the tax collector. He's no doubt got a palatial home. He's got everything that you could possibly want. But listen, he's Jewish. We know this by his name because his name means innocent or not guilty. When he came out of his mama, she looked at him, and that's how the Hebrews are. They usually wait for a week or two, sometimes a month, to name their kid based upon their actions. Did you know that? It's kind of cool. You know, we name our kids before we even have a kid. When I have a baby, I'm going to name him Fred. Hey, that's great. But in Israel, they kind of study the kid, and then they say, you know what? We're going to name him innocent. Doesn't he look innocent? Can you imagine holding up this baby in a diaper with a cigar looking just like Danny DeVito, you know? We're going to name him innocent. That's what Zacchaeus means. No doubt he started out as a cute, cool little guy, but perhaps greed drove him to be a turncoat, we would say, against his own people. So here's point number one in our study this morning. Mark it down if you would. Point number one goes to verses 1 to 3, and it's this: little man, big sin, big faith or bigger faith. How about this? Are you too short to see Jesus? I want you to jot that down. You say, I thought we're talking about Zacchaeus. Yeah, I know, but we're going to use Zacchaeus to talk about ourselves. Are you too short to see Jesus? You see, what does that mean? Well, in life, things go on regarding life that we can see things that are happening and write them off to other situations. We can look around at, for example, the global crisis and begin to panic thinking that God has fallen asleep and fell off his throne somewhere, that somehow he doesn't care. No, quite the contrary. God knows exactly what's going on. But you see, it depends on your stature. How tall are you? Can you see Jesus in your life? So the question is this, I'm going to want you to write it down. Are you too short to see Jesus? Now, by nature of this message, there's going to be an invitation for you to receive Christ today. You can't get away from it. Verse 1, we learn this. What if the Lord is creating or creates an opportunity? You might say today, I don't know if I know God, Pastor Jack. If I were to die today, I don't know if I would see God and it would be good with me. Well, then listen carefully. This is very encouraging for you. What if the Lord is creating in your life opportunities for you to get to know him? It says in verse 1 that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He's coming from the Galilee down to Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not go from donkey or next week on a bus or whenever we're going. You don't go from Galilee to Jerusalem down the eastern side of the Jordan River Valley. That's way out of the way. You would just drive direct. Why didn't Jesus just take his donkey direct? Because he had an appointment. Remember last week's appointment with the blind Bartimaeus? Today he's got an appointment with Zacchaeus. God will go out of his way to get to you an opportunity that you might be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not inviting you, if you're visiting today, I'm not inviting you to join this church or to embrace religion. That's the last thing you need. I want you to consider Christ, to consider Jesus. You can forget about everything else. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's Jesus that brought us here. And it's Jesus who cared enough in each and every one of our lives to use opportunities, we call them situations, sometimes dilemmas, to get us to see him. But the Bible says in Romans 11:34, for who has known the mind of the Lord? The Bible says that God's mind is beyond our mind, that God's ways are beyond our ways. When he creates opportunities, God is fully intending it to be an encounter with him. All the stuff that we're going through in life, God wants you to find him in it. Why do some things, listen, why do some things go from bad to worse? It's not that God's mean. It's not that God doesn't care. It's that sometimes, and all of us men know this, sometimes it takes a lot to get our arm to get bent to our backs before we give up. It's all about our will. And we fabricate these things about God. We accuse God of this or that. We get angry about Jesus and how come this? And if God is God, then why about that? And you Christians this? And how come that? Why is there war? And why do people? Oh my goodness, on and on it goes. Listen, if you read the Bible, the answer is there. It's very clear. Yes, we live in a dangerous world. God warned that the world would go this way if Adam and Eve rejected him. That death would come. God is the giver of life. But he creates opportunities. And so what if in our life he's creating opportunities? God encounters, I'd like to call them. They happen in our lives and they come in all kinds of packages. And if we're not careful, we'll misread them. I have met people who have come to know Jesus and whose lives have been dramatically changed by these events that I've written down by virtue of having met with people. The death of a child, a job promotion. In the theater of war, we're still getting reports, by the way, as the U.S. Marine Corps broadcasts our services over the area of Iraq today. People come to Christ at kitchen tables and conversations. But no matter what the situation is, God, who loves you, is quietly, sometimes not so quietly, working to get your attention. He wants you to know him. Verse 2, we learn this. Are we sometimes thinking that we're too short to see Jesus? Well, what if the Lord knows everything? Zacchaeus is going to encounter Jesus. Little does Zacchaeus know that Jesus knows everything. This is God in human flesh walking by. How cool is that? Verse 2 says, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was the chief tax collector. I'll simply say this, he was hated. And I'll give you this verse. He was hated by the Jewish people, but listen to this. In Psalm 139, verse 3, Psalm 139, 3 says, you discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways. You ought to jot that down. That's a great verse. That's a great verse to give to your kid when they're going to be taking the car out for the first time. Amen. Huh? Remember, son, the Lord is familiar with all your ways. You're coming in and you're going out. He knows that about us, everything. What you're thinking right now, what you thought a moment ago, what you're going to think in 10 minutes, where you've been, where you're going, he knows it all. You say, Jack, wait, if God knows, if I'm not a Christian today, and God knows where I've been and where I'm going, then why doesn't he step in, show his face through a cloud or something, and convince me that way, and then maybe I'll be a believer? Well, he can do anything he wants, but he's not going to do that. Probably not. The other thing is, Well, if God knows all that, then why doesn't he keep me from doing all the bad stuff and all the silly stuff and so that I'll do all the good stuff? He's desiring to do that in your life on his terms. And this is where you and I begin to butt heads with God. He is God, and he knows what's best. Do you trust him enough to let him be God like that? He's good. Third consideration under this point, number one, point one is, are you too short to see Jesus? Well, what if the Lord sees you in the crowd? And you know that's true. See, Jack, there's thousands of people here. How can he see me? Oh, he not only sees you, the Bible says that he knows the very numbers of hair that's on your head. He knows. Zacchaeus, verse 3 says, sought. Can you circle the word sought, Bible students? Circle that word, sought. Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was. The word in Greek means that Jesus wasn't unknown to him. He was trying to put a face to the fame. You with me? Watch this. But could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. He's a little guy. He tried to see Jesus. It's actually kind of comical. This little Danny DeVito guy is trying to get in to see Jesus, and all he's getting is elbows. And plus, the people hate him. They despise him. So can you imagine? Oh, Zacchaeus, was that your foot? Oh, is that your head? I'm sorry. Can you imagine? He's had enough of it. It's not that he's upset at anybody. Doesn't say. We don't know. This we know. The word sought. Mark it down in your mind because it's going to appear again in verse 10. It's very unique. And I'm going to give it to you for free. I read 30 Bible scholars yesterday regarding this, and not one of them pointed this out, not one of them caught it. So I'll save you some money right now in buying books. This word sought is the same word that's going to appear in verse 10, and it's absolutely remarkable. Here's what it means. It means to desire strongly after someone or something. It means to endeavor. It means you're not going to be stopped until you see it or see him or them. It means to go after them with all pursuit. I don't know if you and I have ever seen such a thing. With such determination, passion, I am not going to be deterred. Now, this is cool. Church, are you with me, anybody? Zacchaeus is rich. He's a man of prominence, okay? He's a man of power. In that culture, people of that status, they do not run, and they do not, they never act in haste. Even if they wanted to, they're not supposed to. They're supposed to send a message in that culture that's still true today. You will never see a prominent, rich, or elderly man in the Middle East running. If they're running, you better run with them because there's probably something going to blow up. You don't do that. He is seeking to see Jesus. And listen, this next part I'm going to make up. It's not in the Bible, so I give you fair warning. My question is why? Why would he leave his palace? Why would he leave the safety of his home and come around all these people who can't stand him because Jesus is passing by? Why? Well, I can come to some possible conclusions as to why he wants to see Jesus so much. I'll give you two. Number one is this. In Matthew 11:19, the Bible says that Jesus was accused of, everyone listen, this is encouraging, Jesus was accused of being a friend of common people and tax collectors. Now, most of us are common people. Maybe you're here today, you're an IRS agent, tax collector. Jesus hung out. Common people and tax collectors, it said, gravitated towards Jesus. I find that encouraging. The second thought is this. Could Zacchaeus have heard about another tax collector? Because Jesus' ministry was famous. Good, bad, or ugly. People loved him. People didn't know and decide what to do, and then some hated him. So check this out. Zacchaeus either knows that, hey, I've heard about this guy. I want to see him because he's a friend of tax collectors and common people. Because I don't have anybody in my life except other tax collectors. They weren't allowed to hang out with anybody because nobody would hang out with them. He's Jewish, so he's an outcast among the Jewish people. So who's he going to hang out with? Other tax collectors. How exciting can that be? Secondly, could it be, he thinks in his mind, I remember hearing about a man who's one of his disciples. His name was Matthew Levi. Matthew Levi in Hebrew. Matthew was at a tax gate, custom seat, when Jesus passed by and said, come and follow me. And it says that Matthew, being the tax collector, left everything that was there and came and followed Christ. Could it be that Zacchaeus had remembered one of his followers of this wonderful man was also a tax collector? Could there be hope for me? I want to tell you, yeah, there's hope. You know what? Zacchaeus is getting taller every minute. He's getting taller every minute because you know what? He's starting to think straight. He's starting to think biblically. He's starting to think what we would say today is a Christian worldview that we need to promote like never before, that God loves the world. God's a holy judge, no doubt about it. God is angry with sin, no doubt about it. But God loves life, and he loves you. And you can be, listen, I know this drives people nuts. Every time I say this, I get a note or two from people. Did you know that for God so loved Osama bin Laden that Jesus went to the cross? You see, we want Osama bin Laden hung by the neck. That's because we are humans. Someday he will hang by the neck unless he accepts Christ. Think about it. I mean eternally hang by the neck, if you know what I mean. You say, yeah, well, you know what? I hope he doesn't accept Christ. Well, now, wait a minute. Did you know that for God so loved the world that he died even on the cross for Adolf Hitler, who exterminated so many people? And did you know that God so loved the world that he even died for the very self-righteous, I don't need Jesus grandpa that might be so dear in your life but sees no need for Christ? Did you know that none of us get to heaven, says Jesus in the Bible, but by faith in him? It's not by money. Well, Pastor, what do I do? You know, I kind of like this poor church. Where do I write a check? You know, you write your check to God. It's not going to affect your entrance into heaven. Well, you want to baptize me now so I'll go to heaven? That's not going to do it either. Well, how about giving me communion so I can go to heaven? Ain't going to happen. You can't get there from here. Not like that. You have got to be able to say and to wake up to and get tall as Zacchaeus to realize, you know what? I just want to see him. When you begin to appreciate who Christ is, then you begin to understand, you know what? He is Lord. Because in a little bit, you're going to hear him say, Lord! And to understand that God, who in this messed up world, sent his son according to the prophets that he would come and love you all the way through to the end of this challenging, difficult life. And in the end, when you and I breathe our last breath, inherit eternal life. That is, it's given to us on the basis of what Jesus did. It's called the gospel. And so it may be that the crowd is all around, but you feel so alone and almost as though you're hiding in the crowd. And God says, I see you. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, but in reality, Jesus was seeing him. And that's an excellent thing. Point number two, little man, big sin, bigger faith. Are you too bad? Do you think maybe you're too bad to be seen with Jesus? I shared with you guys years ago, some friends of ours, we were sharing the Lord in Newport Beach. We were witnessing to people, telling them about the love of God, and there was this big chopper gang. I don't know what they were, but there were a gang of guys there, and they had all their girls with them, and they were drinking and partying on. And Pastor Richard Cimino, you've known Richard. He's taught here before. He pastors up in Sacramento today. We were sharing the Lord, and we saw these big gnarly guys, big mean guys, and we just didn't say a word to each other, but we just kept walking by. And we went to the next group of unsuspecting victims. And it was great because we both turned and looked right at each other and said, we're supposed to go back and talk to them. And I remember walking toward that chopper gang group, that biker group, and I remember praying, I'll never forget it, dear God, give me wisdom and give it to me quick. I don't know what to say. And I walked up and I said, excuse me, excuse me. And the whole gang went silent. I said, I'm a Christian, but before you kill me, can I tell you something? And they laughed like you're laughing. And I'm not going to say what some of them said. It wouldn't be appropriate. And the leader said, wait a minute. Let the guy speak. He had enough guts to come up here. Talk. So I gave them the gospel. And he said, you know what? That's fantastic news if it was true. That's too good to be true. He said, no, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to kill myself. There's no life after death. And he had his theology. Lost in the crowd, lonely, afraid, I don't know, but listen to this. Do you think you're too bad to be saved? Because one of the things he said was, God would not have me in his heaven, because if he would have me in his heaven, it wouldn't be heaven. And I want to tell you something right now. I love you, even though I don't even know who you are necessarily. But I'm going to tell you something right now. In Christ, I love you, and I got to tell you something. You think you're a bad sinner? You think you're too bad to make it to heaven? Let me tell you something. Don't be so impressed with yourself. You're not so great a sinner. But Pastor Jack, I have raped, murdered, and pillaged. You know what? Do you think that you have sinned so big, so great, so bad, that you're beyond the grace of God? Do you think when Jesus died on the cross that the blood he shed covered the sins of the entire world except your hideous, horrendous sin? Oh, don't fool yourself. Look, I am happy that you see yourself that way, but listen, don't stay that way for long, because God's love for you is to take that. And this is what he loves. Just like taking a piece of junk car out in the middle of the desert. He gets it out of the desert, gets it into a shop, fills it in, fixes it up, puts new wheels on it, gets it all ready to go, and presents it as a brand new, beautiful, like it rolled off the showroom floor, 1932, whatever. If man can restore something that's lost and neglected and rejected, why not your Creator? Zacchaeus had it all, but he wasn't happy. He wasn't fulfilled. So look at verses 4 and 5. Are you too bad to be seen with Jesus? I want to argue with you, because listen, why would the Lord want to lift you up if that were so? Lift you up. Yeah, look at verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said, pause right there. I'm going to look at the screen picture there. Okay, this is that tree in my backyard. I couldn't get the whole thing in the screen. Now watch this. This is fun. This is a sycamore tree, just like they have in Israel. Notice how the leaves are only about the size of a little pancake right now. It's springtime. Hey, the time of this message, Luke 19, same time of the year it is right now. It's just before Passover, just before Easter. Sycamores are just like that in Israel today. Next slide. See that? And look at all the branches, by the way. And if you don't trim them, it'll go like that all the way down to the ground. Okay? Next picture. That's looking from the bottom up. It's got a split trunk. It goes in two directions, but it looks like it's got 10 trunks if you look at it. You can go anywhere you want. Notice how little the leaves are at this time of the year. Out of all the trees in Israel, Zacchaeus climbed, listen, the tree that had the least amount of leaves so he could see who, what, why? Jesus. Isn't that cool? I mean, I don't know about you. I think that's cool. He goes up into the tree, and I don't know what he's thinking. He's not going up there to be seen. He doesn't want to be seen. He already got an elbow full of eyes. Or an eye full of elbows, I should say. He wants to see Jesus. So he goes up there, and you can see in a sycamore what's happening there. But here's what absolutely gets me excited. The things that caused this little man to come out of his home and to risk all this stuff just to see Jesus, to me, is extremely romantic regarding what he wants to experience. What is he searching for? What's he looking for? Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Maybe Zacchaeus heard that. Maybe he knew that. I don't know. But what drew this man into such an interesting setting? Look at verse 5 goes on. Are you too bad to be seen with Jesus? Think again. Why would the Lord invite you? Why would the Lord invite you? Why would the Lord invite himself? What's with the meeting? God had a divine encounter underneath that tree. Hey, listen, you guys know, if we plant a tree or put a seed in the ground, that's what we do. Who causes it to grow? A seed growing is a miracle. By the way, you know what's cool about a seed? You put it in the it's in a suspended state. Did you know that? Until you put it in the ground. You know what happens when you put a seed in the ground? It dies. You say, it dies. I thought a tree grows. It does. As soon as it dies, it sticks out a little probe that's going to search for life, search for nutrients. That's why as Christians, we believe in resurrection. Think about it. Somebody planted a tree. Jesus, who knows everything, goes to an intersection, a divine meeting place, because Zacchaeus, some little Danny DeVito, would be sitting in a tree. God knew that. Before God flung Jupiter out into space, God knew you. All the things that are going on in your life, God knows. Everything that's happening, God cares about. And you keep that in mind. Because what's beautiful is, the Lord invites himself. It says in verse 5, the Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. The word must is, I can't continue on. This is part of the gig. This is part of the plan. Zacchaeus, come down. By the way, do you read anything in your Bible about somebody saying, Jesus, that's Zacchaeus in the tree. Leave him up there. No. Do you see Jesus saying, excuse me, somebody, what's this guy's name? No. What does Jesus say? Zacchaeus, come down from here. I love that. Jesus said in John 10, verse 3, my sheep hear my voice, and I call them by their names. He calls us by our names, and he says, I will lead them out, or in this case, I will lead them down. Zacchaeus, you come down. Do you have that hope today, by the way? The Bible says the Lord's coming back. When he comes back, or listen, you say, well, I don't know when that's going to be. I agree. I don't know when it's going to be, but let's just shorten the whole concept. What if today, what if this week you're going to go meet Jesus? Does he know your name? Is he going to call you by name? Can you imagine when you're fading away and all the doctors are saying, we can't do anymore? Or you see that train coming down the track and your car won't start? What am I going to do? Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that before all that comes down, you're going to hear your name called? Jack. Have you ever had surgery, or have you ever been knocked out or passed out or freaked out? Jack. Jack. You hear your name. What? Where am I? What? The first thing that you get is Jack. Now, some of you have great noble names. I have Jack. Jack. Jack is an object that lifts heavy things. Jack is a form of equine related to the horse. Right? Great name. It's my dad's nickname, but it's my legal name. My passport says Jack. God's going to call my name. He's going to call your name. And he calls Zacchaeus. I'm going to stay at your house today. Get down. There's encounters like that, and God wants to have those encounters in your life. Jacob. We'll put the verses up, and I'll just paraphrase it. You can look at them or write them down later. Genesis 28, 16 to 19. By the way, this is remarkable. Anybody who's excited about this can visit our website here at this church, because it is a U.S. government satellite photograph of the area of Israel where Bethel is. Why do I say that? Look at the verse. The verse is amazing. The verse says this, that Jacob awoke from his sleep. God had shown him a vision, a dream, about his proximity to God. God was showing himself to Jacob. He's sleeping out in the middle of nowhere in a place called Luz at that time. And surely, though, he says, listen, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it. Have you ever had that happen in your life? I tell you, I've had it in my life. You ever been somewhere where you thought, God ain't in this place? We have a saying for it. What a God-forsaken place. No, it's not. He's there. Jacob wakes up and says, I thought I was in a God-forsaken place. Hey, have you wandered away? Are you a Christian? Have you wandered away? You've been dating Rocky or playing around with bubbles and you're straight from God and you're goofing off. You're not happy, are you? Hey, if Zacchaeus was happy, he would have stayed home. Why are you here? Why, maybe you're listening in right now on the radio. Why are you here? Tuning in. What's going on? What's going on in your life? Did you know God knows? I'm so glad that only God knows. He's so good. And Jacob says, I was in this place and God was here and I didn't even know it. And he was afraid, it said, verse 17. And he said, look how biblical this word I always use. It's right there in the Bible. How awesome is this place, he said. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he put under his head, that was his pillow, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil atop it, and he called the name of that place the house of God, Bethel. Guess what? When you look from satellite space, and you zoom in on the town of Bethel, and you can look at it at our website. In fact, it's a U.S. government satellite. Zoom in on it. Guess what it says in the mountains of Bethel? YHWH in Hebrew. Yahweh is the name of God. From space, you can read the name of God in the land of Israel in the city of Bethel. You doubt that? Go to our website. Check out the geostationary satellite that we have over Israel. It's amazing. Absolutely awesome. I would like to argue with this, argue you regarding this, is that everywhere you go, my friend, you may or may not be a believer today, but I want to tell you right now, until your time's up, God is loving on you to get you to see him. You may be kicking against God. I don't believe in God. You know what? Listen, I love you, but he's not paying any attention to that. Amen. I refuse. I think God's this. He's not offended by all your accusations against him. You're shaking your fist at him. He's not scared. My mom was a little tiny Portuguese lady, little tiny thing, little like Zacchaeus, a wee little lady she was. And it's terrible to admit this publicly, but it's true. My mom, she had such a temper. I told you before, she didn't speak English very well, and she would get mad. And when she would get mad, she would start cussing at us in Hawaiian and Portuguese. And my brother and I, we would just hold her forehead like this. And she's swinging at us and calling us all these names I'm hearing in my mind right now in Hawaiian and Portuguese. And she would just get so tired, her arms could not swing any longer. And I'm not joking. And then when, because, you know, she still had strength in her legs. We would go like this and then run. Hey, people are like that with God. You know what, God? And when I meet you, I'm going to tell you. And you know what? I didn't, when my baby died back in 82, and I don't know why, and I hate you, God, and I can't, and my husband left me, and my wife, she did, oh, God. And he's just like this. And you're going, until you just give up. And let me tell you something. That will be, I've been there. That will be the most painful moment of your life. But when you give up, when you give up is when your life changes like never before. Like never. And you'll never be the same. It is a great thing to lose to God's arguments. It's very important that you lose to him. Verses 6 and 7, are you too bad, you think, to be seen with Jesus? Then why would the Lord want to be seen with you? Well, he wants to be seen with you. Look at, so he made haste and came down from the tree which God gave him to sit in. he came down from that tree and look at, received him joyfully. Joyfully. I don't want to spend much time on this. We'll go to our third point. Just this, joyfully. My friend, joy, get this. If you don't get anything else, get this. Joy is different than happiness. Just by definition. Happiness is based upon happenstance. Hey, dude, what's happening? Well, if it's good, you have a story to tell. If it's nothing, it's boring. Hey, how's your day going? Cool, man. You know why? Because you're happy about what's happening. What about tomorrow? Oh, man, I don't know. You know, people have a tendency to worry about tomorrow. What's going to happen? Who cares? You can't control this. God knows. He's in control. Take it easy. Here's the cool thing. Happiness goes like this, and all of us are prone to it. Happy, sad, happy, sad. Happiness is connected to what's going on, happenstance, and emotions. You know what's greater than and transcends emotions and what's happening around us? Did you know that right in the middle of the worst situation that you can ever imagine, you can have joy if you know Jesus? Did you know that Jesus said in John 15:11, these things I've spoken unto you, that is the word of God, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy would be full. Do you know what joy does? Joy goes like this. Joy's like this. Look, you have teenagers? Huh? Stock market? Right? As we get older, ibuprofen, Advil, doctor's visits. Right? Joy. Doesn't matter. It's constant. It's divine, supernatural. Those of you who don't know Jesus, I hate to be so blunt, but I love you. Listen, those of you who don't know Jesus, you don't have any joy. Your life is constantly vandalized and victimized by the events of what's happening, and you're tormented by what could be. My friend, listen, you don't know the Lord. If you knew what it would be like to come down from the tree you're in and go with him and have him come into your house, listen, your house, your life. He says, I must be in your house today. He didn't say, hey, Zacchaeus, you know, I don't know if you make time for me or not. Check your day timer, see if you can. Jesus said, I must. God had a plan. Third and final point, are you today ready for Jesus? Zacchaeus was a little man. He had big sins, but he had bigger faith. Are you today ready for Jesus? Verses 8 through 10. Because it's time to be honest. Honest with yourself. This is amazing. Then Zacchaeus stood. By the way, I have the word highlighted in my Bible, stood, because what it implies is, it implies that Zacchaeus stood in a different sense of character, taller than he's ever stood before. Isn't that cool? I thought he was a short guy. He's a short little giant. Physically, he's just a wee little man. But he was a giant now in a second in faith. How cool is that? Someone asked George Washington, how long will it take for a soldier to be cleared or freed of fear in the face of battle? And Washington said, some men have no fear in battle. Some men are completely terrified during the entire battle. Some men lose fear during the battle. And the answer that he wound up drawing to the conclusion was, you can have fear, and you will have fear. But the key is to never give up because you have fear. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, life is getting pretty spooky outside those walls. But Jesus says, I've come to give you peace. He says, I've come to give you life. And Jesus is telling us, I believe in this, that there is an honest, dramatic change. Zacchaeus stood straight up because he was standing for something, someone that he had never known before. And this was not going to be taken away. And it was so, church, listen, it was so important to him and so perfect for him and so needed for you to hear today if you've lost everything and you're losing everything. Zacchaeus said, follow along with me in the Bible, look at it, verse 8. Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Why did he say that? Listen. That didn't save him. Do you understand that, everybody? Because he met Christ, his heart was touched. He didn't need stuff anymore. He was going to be just fine. Don't worry, he's not going to be homeless. But he had so much stuff. He says, that's it. I don't need this stuff. That was my identity. I'm giving it away. Right now, people are losing. How tragic. They're losing their identity when the tow truck comes and repossesses it. Because they have no Jesus in their life. When they slap the slip on the front door of the house, people are putting guns to their heads because they've lost their identity and hope because they don't have Jesus in their life. It's time for America. It's time for the world. It's time for you and it's time for me to really, really get serious about this thing we call faith and stop goofing off and become real believers, because you know what? He said to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. Tell that to the mortgage company when they're taking your house away. You know what? Take it. Do you want me to paint it before you take it? Do you want me to vacuum it before you take it? Take it. Because listen, here's the deal. I have Jesus. He said he'll never leave me or forsake me. And this is a big deal. Listen, not only be honest with yourself, but it's time to be changed. Jesus, listen to this. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because look in your Bible. Because he gave all of his wealth away? No. You can't go to heaven like that. Because what? Because he also is the son of Abraham. Hey, how do you become a son of Abraham? The Jews will tell you, you have to be Jewish. The Muslims will tell you, you have to follow Muhammad. The Christian who knows his Bible will say, you have to, according to the Bible, receive Jesus Christ by faith, which causes you to become, by faith, a son or daughter of Abraham, which Abraham became a son or friend of God by what? Listen, by what? Circumcision? Nope. God called Abraham a friend before he was ever circumcised. Baptism? Nope. Giving money? Nope. Keeping the law, the Ten Commandments, right? Abraham was way before Moses and the Ten Commandments. How did Abraham get the promise that he was going to be going to heaven? The Bible says there, the just shall live by what?
Faith.
Will you put faith in Jesus Christ? Which leads us to verse 10, and we're done. For the Son of Man, Jesus is, has come to seek, circle the word seek, and to save that which was lost. Why did God come to earth in human form? He came to, number one, it's that same Greek word. He came because he wanted to pursue, long after, chase, hunt down you. Why? To save you. Really? Uh-huh. Why? Because you're lost. Does verse 10 offend you? I'm not lost. I know exactly where I'm at. I don't need saving. I don't need a savior. He doesn't need to seek after me. I'm just fine. He can come to somebody else. I hope you're not like that. My friend, if you've broken one little Ten Commandment, even if you like crossed over it and then you found out, hey, did you know you just broke one of the Ten Commandments? I did. Too late. The Bible says you're guilty. The Bible says technically we were guilty. We're innocent before the law until the age of accountability, which no man knows what age that is. But when we begin to sin willfully, like, you know, teenagers, people think teenagers go nuts at about the age of 13 and they don't come back to planet Earth till about 22. You know what? That's not true. Do you know what that is? When you see a teen rebelling and going goofy, did you know that they're coming into a realm of, that's why they reject authority. They have come to that place of being accountable before God, and they'll either choose God or they'll run away from God. That's why kids go through teen rebellion. It's not that they're stupid. It's that they're now on their own, and you better give them Jesus, because their soul, Satan, is licking his chops to eat up your teenager. And if you have lived as a teenager all your life and you've never surrendered to Jesus, Satan has got his bib on and he's got his fork and knife ready. Because Jesus says, no man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said, if a man confesses, the Bible says, if a man confesses him, the Lord Jesus Christ, with his mouth, he shall be saved. What does that mean? Well, it means that you need to agree with him that you and I need saving. It means you can't save ourselves. It means we've sinned. We need to be rescued from the breaking of the law, that we're guilty. And then It's simply by putting all of our trust in Him. You guys, you can't trust Christ and then make yourself righteous. So let's pray right now. I'm going to ask you to just close your Bibles, bow your heads, close your eyes so there's no distractions. And I'm going to ask you to choose right now, to make a decision. And we're going to pray now. Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you would move in the midst of these people. And Father, in Jesus' name, that if you, Lord, are beginning to stir in a heart, speak to a heart down deep inside that they need you. That if you were to die today, my friend, you wouldn't know where you're going. You're not sure. I am not here to embarrass you. I think you know that right now. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand wherever you're at. If you today are willing to receive this message, and the message is this, that Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, came to seek and to save you, me. But my friend, the difference between you and I is only this. Only this. I bowed my knee to him and he changed my life. And today, maybe perhaps you've not yet done that. Will you today be willing to pray a simple prayer that I'll lead you with here in a moment with others that will raise their hands? But is that your decision today? Are you saying, Pastor Jack, that's me. I want to do that. Raise your hand. Don't be shy. God bless you. You and you. Many of you. Others? Anyone else? In the back, God bless you. Over here, God bless you. Up front, God bless you. Anybody inside, you kind of got like a little blender going on inside your tummy? You know that, man, I should do this. What's with me? Why am I feeling this way? That is awesome. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, do this now. I remember that. Anybody going through that right now? Raise your hand. Yeah. Several of you. God is so, so good. He's drawing you to himself right now. It's a beautiful, wonderful, uncomfortable pulling. Those of you who raised your hands, you can put your hands down. Pray this with me. The Lord will hear you. Dear Lord, I'm coming to you today. And I'm asking you now to forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I don't know quite what to do. But I know this. I am confessing today that I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and that he rose again from the dead and that I can receive him like Zacchaeus received him today. Lord, write my name in your book of life. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for your blessings to be upon these who raise their hands. Lord, do that which you do. Invade their lives. And Lord, I'm assuming, as it was with me, I never felt anything, didn't get goosebumps or hear angels singing. But within a matter of hours, I noticed you changed the way I thought. You changed the way I saw. And I pray your blessings upon these now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Before you're dismissed, first of all, those...